Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a top 10 American single by a British artist who, in his home country, is the third most successful chart act of all time, behind only the Beatles and Elvis Presley. But in the United States, he has hit the top 10 exactly three times. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will examine another legendary single released on Sun Records, not by one of their many male vocalists, but by a female rockabilly performer that was a childhood friend and neighbor of Elvis Presley. Later, we will present a Southern rock album track by a now legendary band from Alabama, whose name left no doubt about the group's home state. Nevertheless, instead of cutting their one rare album at Muscle Shoals, they set up shop at the Capitol Records building in Los Angeles for their big moment. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track at number 1, we will appreciate a composition by the celebrated songwriting team of Holland Dozier Holland that reached the top of the Billboard Pop chart, the Billboard R&B chart, the Cashbox charts, and the British charts. This record was praised by critic Martin Charles Strong as being, quote, a soul symphony of epic proportions, close quote. But first, just as we do every week, we dive into this week's countdown with a single that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then were swatted away. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with an instrumental composed by the longtime writer and producer that founded the Valiant record label and in the process signed the association to their initial record contract. During the early part of his career, this songwriter's tunes were covered by country and rockabilly vocalists such as Marty Robbins, Johnny Burnett, and Johnny's brother Dorsey Burnett. Later in his career, he was associated with names such as The Carpenters, Joe Walsh, and Nadia Comaneci. 3 years before he co-wrote the song In the City with Joe Walsh, he scored a catchy television theme song that I first thought was composed by Isaac Hayes. We'll be right back. After hitting number one in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, the ABC Records studio orchestra known as Rhythm Heritage found themselves perched at number 40 on their way back down the charts with their recording of the Barry DeBorzon composition, Theme from SWAT.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
At number 20, we have a hard rock act from England that was formed in London in 1968 and is still touring. During their long and productive career, they have released 22 studio albums and 14 live albums. They have sold 20 million records, yet they remain virtually obscure in terms of acts with those types of sales figures. From their 1978 album titled Obsession, here is the Ron Nevison produced act on Chrysalis that featured the talented Michael Schenker on lead guitar, UFO. With an album track that should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World, that was the British hard rock act UFO and You Don't Fool Me.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have the most successful single by the female trio that we played on our show several months ago as the featured vocalists on the number one hit written and produced by Gamble and Huff, T.S.O.P. And, in an interesting twist, because this song was, like T.S.O.P., recorded at Sigma Sound in Philadelphia and also produced by Gamble and Huff, the backing musicians known as MFSB are on this one as well. This time around, the combination was basically just as successful, eventually hitting number one on the Cashbox survey, but only reaching number two on the Billboard Hot 100.
See you again.
At number 11, on their way up to number 1 in Record World, Cashbox, and on the British Singles Survey, those were the 3 Degrees and their hit that was written and produced by Gamble and Huff and backed by MFSB, When Will I See You Again? At number 10, we have yet another selection by the Plimsolls, that four-man rock act that LA's cutting-edge radio station KROQ and specifically DJ Rodney Bingenheimer absolutely loved and played regularly. This time we focus on an album track that we believe Geffen Records should have released as a single. The song was included on the band's second album, Everywhere at Once, which made its way up to number 186 on the Billboard Top 200 album chart. Even with that sluggish chart showing, the album itself continues to grow in status thanks to its concise and lean songs that straddle pop and rock. With a perfect example of one of their songs that continues to grow in relevance, here are the Plimsolls, led by Peter Case, and a song that we believe really belonged at number 10, Inch by Inch.
Lost in the dark, we're caught in slow motion. You close your eyes, let the world slip away. That seems like forever. Still we don't know what tomorrow will bring. What will happen if we break every promise that we make? Day by day, we'll be right back.
with a song that should have been released as a single and should have at the very least hit number 10. Those were the Plimsolls and Inch by Inch.
Number nine.
Now we are up to a song that really did hit number 9. It is by the British artist that has had an amazing amount of success in his home country. Listen to these statistics. In England alone, he has sold 21 million records. Worldwide, his sales figures are in the neighborhood of 250 million. More than 130 of his singles have hit the top 20 of the British chart, more than any other artist. A staggering 67 of those have hit the top 10 there. 14 of them hit number 1. He is the only recording act to have reached number 1 in the UK in 5 consecutive decades. He has even been knighted. But in the United States, his chart fortunes have been quite different. While he certainly has a familiar voice and maintains notoriety in the United States because of his British success, he has only hit the top 10 in Billboard exactly 3 times. Oddly enough, this vocalist made one of those trips into the American top 10 with one of his few singles that actually did better in the US than in the UK. At number 9, with a song that ultimately peaked at number 9 in England and number 6 in the United States, here is Harry Roger Webb, better known around the world as Sir Cliff Richard.
I've had nothing but bad luck since the day I saw the cat at my door. So I came into you, sweet lady, answering your mystic.
Number 9 in England and number 6 in the United States. That was Cliff Richard and his single from the album I'm Nearly Famous, Devil Woman.
Universe Top 40.
Auden and Grace should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a selection which is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by the progressive fusion rock band from South Bend, Indiana, known as Humphreys McGee. The band came together in 1997 when some members of Tosche Station combined with a couple of members of Stomper Bob to form a new hybrid band. While looking for a name, one of the members recalled that he actually had a cousin whose name really was Humphrey McGee, but without the apostrophe and with the actual H in the first name. Their debut album was sarcastically called Greatest Hits Volume 3. From there, they developed a live following which has remained loyal to them ever since. The selection that we are playing today is called In the Kitchen. We believe that it should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 and Billboard Mainstream Rock Tracks chart.
It was cold in the kitchen and the lights were low as winter slowly stumbled home. Started the show as every breath resembled smoke. I'm short of opinions and I wanted to know if you'd still be here tomorrow. Cause it was cold in the kitchen and the lights were low as winter wrapped around Chicago. TV's on too much and I don't ever think enough about the things that what can make me old. There's no argument for wasting time much better spent complacently replacing a melody with
that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was Humphreys McGee and their release from 2009, In the
All
Kitchen.
Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7. It is another recording that comes to us courtesy of that amazing little company from Memphis, Sun Records. We have played several Sun recordings on the show already, some by established stars and others that did not sell very well, becoming collector's items based upon their scarcity. Our record today is also a rare one. Unlike the other rare ones we have previously played, though, the artist responsible for this one was the fiercely independent female vocalist, Barbara Pittman. Barbara Pittman was born on April 6, 1938, in Memphis. She also grew up in Memphis, for a time living as a neighbor to a young Elvis Presley. Of her childhood friend, she once recalled, quote, "I sang with him. I knew him. I lived down the street from him when we were kids in North Memphis," close quote. When Barbara was a teenager, she was an active part of the Memphis music scene, singing demos for the Song Pitchers. Then, during 1955 and 1956, she sang as part of a Western Review. When that job was over, she began recording for Sun, thanks to a little help from Elvis. Those sessions at Sun resulted in some excellent records, none of which sold very well. As one of the few female vocalists to record there, she felt that her singles were not particularly promoted correctly, as opposed to the singles by the stable of male artists from Sun that actually became hits. Nevertheless, she maintained contact with her friend Elvis during his rise to fame. Of that period, she stated, quote, "I practically lived out at Graceland in the 50s before Elvis went into the service. He was going to take me on the road with him, and then he got drafted," close quote. In the very early 60s, Barbara moved to Los Angeles and became a soundtrack vocalist, working on movies such as Wild Angels, Wild on Wheels, and Hell's Angels. As a result of her motion picture work, she signed with a record label that I know a little about, Delphi Records. Unfortunately, none of her Delphi recordings were released. Later, she made a live album for the Magnum label and gave her blessing to several compilation projects that included her unique recordings from the early days of rockabilly. In 2005, at the age of 67, Barbara passed away at her home in Memphis. While she never became a star like the four guys known as the Million Dollar Quartet, her recordings proved that she could more than hold her own in the male-dominated rockabilly scene. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to Barbara Pittman.
Well, baby, just because we kiss, don't let your passions overrule. Be careful what you say, don't be a sentimental fool. Show your feelings, they'll be trampled on like dirt. Cause a sentimental fool will always wind up getting hurt. Fool, fool, don't be a sentimental fool. Cause life won't be worth living once you've been left feeling blue.
Slice of heaven at number 7. That was Barbara Pittman and her son's single Sentimental Fool, a single that never made the top 40 but should have at the very least hit number 7. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Jürgen from Berlin heard our 6070 broadcast on his NRD525G receiver with 20-meter long wire. He reports 35343 and states he was hearing us for the first time. He enjoyed the music on the January 11, 2020 show. Well, Jürgen, we are thrilled to hear from you, and we hope you hear lots of music you like on our show and all over the airwaves. Daniel from Portugal found us on Mixcloud and actually reposted the air check from our January 4, 2020 show to his 1,016 followers. Thank you, Daniel, for your amazing support. We hope that you continue to check us out on Mixcloud. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Dance Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's Chicago-based arena rock act certainly qualifies. By the time Styx released their 7th studio album, they had enjoyed a major hit single with Lady and had several album tracks receiving FM airplay regularly. But their follow-up singles to Lady had not performed on the charts quite like the band members wanted. That all changed with the Grand Illusion album, the concept release that contained their signature single, Come Sail Away. But that wasn't all. Radio stations in their native Chicago and all around the United States were also drawn to a hard-rocking track that was never released as a single, Miss America. With our bonus hit at number 6, that was Styx with Miss America, an album track that was treated like it was a single on FM radio stations such as KZEW Dallas, KBPI Denver, WQFM Milwaukee, and WLUP Chicago.
Number 5. 5.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a scorching southern rock song by a group from Alabama that was once known as Alabama Power. However, the electric utility with that exact same name sent their legal team after the group, and the band was forced to adopt another name. Amazingly, the name they chose was also a name used by a somewhat famous entity from the state of Alabama. In fact, those two words are universally associated with Alabama. What name did they choose? Crimson Tide. With a name like Crimson Tide, one would assume that the group's loyalty to their home state would cause them to record their debut album in Muscle Shoals. But no. When Capitol Records gave them the opportunity, they ran off to Los Angeles, even though they did not have enough material to fill out an album. Wisely, they chose to cover this selection by the Memphis band we have mentioned several times, the Hot Dogs. At number 5, that was guitarist Wayne Perkins, Dale Perkins, Greg Straub, Bobby DeLander, and J.J. Jackson, collectively known as Crimson Tide, and Turning Back, an album track co-written by the four guys in the Hot Dogs, one of whom was the ever-present Jack Holder.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number 4, which means that we are going to play a record that performed significantly better in England than it did in the United States. And, quite frankly, the artist responsible for this single has always experienced far greater success throughout his career in his native England than in the United States. This particular single only reached number 65 in the U.S. In England, it peaked at number 10. However, in France, it did even better, actually making it up to number 4. So, today, at number 4, here is David Bowie with Starman.
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, that is all he said. And the loud sound that seemed to fade came back like a slow voice on a wave of fade. That weren't no DJ, that was hazy cosmic time. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman in the sky. He's told us
is a star.
With a single that hit number 65 in the United States, number 10 in England, and number 4 in France, that was David Bowie at number 4 and Starman.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Tempe, Arizona. Back in 1987, an energetic rock group evolved in Tempe and took the name The Gin Blossoms. While the band's ultimate story was marred by the unfortunate and tragic death of songwriter Doug Hopkins, the time The Gin Blossoms spent in Tempe as a huge draw on the bar circuit remains positive. The most positive aspect of the Gin Blossoms' career was the sound they achieved at Ardent Studios in Memphis, taking the jangly rock that they had perfected live in the clubs of Arizona and matching it with the genius producer John Hampton, who had worked in the studio with all the respected Memphis names, including Good Question, Keith Sykes, Alex Chilton, John Fry, and Jim Dickinson. That perfect combination of band and producer resulted in a vibrant alternative rock track called Hey Jealousy, which, back in the early 90s, jumped straight into the top 10 of Billboard's mainstream rock tracks chart, but should have hit number 3.
Tell me, do you think it'd be alright if I could just crash here tonight? You can see I'm no sheep for driving, and anyway I've got no place to go. It's
I'm not afraid to
with our three from way downtown. Those were the Gin Blossoms from Tempe, Arizona, and their John Hampton produced version of the Doug Hopkins composition, Hey Jealousy.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means that we are going to play a song that we think should have reached number 1. And it was the most popular track from an album that went to number 1. However, because no singles at all were released from that album, it is impossible to gauge what the chart action of this amazing song would have been in its original studio form as a single. In 1970, Paul McCartney released his debut solo album and titled it simply McCartney. On that album, he included the initial version of the now classic Maybe I'm Amazed. The song received a large amount of airplay that corresponded roughly with the timing of the breakup of the Beatles. Not surprisingly, the whole McCartney album was overshadowed by the sad news of the demise of everyone's favorite band. By the time that Paul took wings on the road with a massive American tour, Maybe I'm Amazed was on the song list for his concerts. Its quality as a song could never be denied, and it became an obvious standout on the post-tour live album, Wings Over America. Finally, on February 4, 1977, a live recording of Maybe I'm Amazed was released as a single. It reached number 10 on both the Billboard and Cashbox charts in the United States. Curiously, it only reached number 28 in England. To us, it has always sounded like a number one record in both the studio and live form. In fact, much as he did with the song Coming Up several years later, my preference would have been the studio version on one side of the single and the live version on the other. Who knows? Had Capitol Records released the single that way, it might have actually hit number one in the United States. Let's listen.
Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you pulled me out of time. You hung me on a line. Maybe I'm amazed at the way I really need you. I'm a man. Maybe I'm a lonely man who's in my midlife sun. Doesn't really understand.
with a song that should have reached number one in Billboard, Cashbox, Record World, and in England. That was Paul McCartney and his solo classic recorded live with Wings, Maybe I'm Amazed. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track, a Motown classic that music critic Martin Charles Strong once called, quote, a soul symphony of epic proportions, close quote. The songwriting team that composed this classic was a celebrated trio that helped create and define the Motown sound. In fact, 10 out of the 12 number one singles released by the Supremes on the Motown label were written by these three talented gentlemen. By now, you know I must be speaking of the team made up of Lamont Dozier and brothers Brian and Eddie Holland, referred to in songwriting and production credits as Holland Dozier Holland. While at Motown, Lamont Dozier and Brian Holland generally composed the melodies, conceptualized the arrangement for the backing tracks, and produced the sessions. Eddie Holland generally wrote the lyrics to each song and arranged the lead vocal and vocal harmonies. When it came time for the Four Tops to record their fourth studio album, the team of Holland Dozier Holland brought them a signature song that has certainly lived on from its release date of August 18, 1966, and has every indication of remaining a classic forever. With a superb lead vocal by Levi Stubbs and a hot backing track by the Motown house players known collectively as the Funk Brothers, here is the Holland Dozier Holland classic as performed by the Four Tops, Reach Out, I'll Be There, today's Hall of Perfection track at number one. With our Hall of Perfection track at number one, those were the Fabulous Four Tops and their signature song, Reach Out, I'll Be There. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.